the National Command Council and some of the decisions that have been taken. And one of those decisions is the phased approach to the reopening of the economy. And the question that a lot of people have been asking now is, should the lockdown be extended or not? Can you justify its extension to this period? Should it continue? Should it not? Did it achieve what it was intended to achieve? Let's get some scientific and maybe health perspective here with Professor Shabir Madi, who is an infectious disease expert and a member of the Ministerial Advisory Committee on Health. He's also a professor of vaccinology at Wits University, an infectious diseases specialist, as I was saying there. Professor Madi, good afternoon to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Good afternoon to you. And just, if you don't mind me just correcting,
I'm
not an advisor to the Minister of Health.
Okay.
And I'm not speaking in any capacity when it comes to the Department of Health.
All right. Thank you so much for that, Prof. I want to talk about some of the things that you indicated during the webinar on the Daily Maverick over the weekend, because one of the things that's indicated there is that you believe that continuing with the lockdown will not stop the wave of community transmission from hitting the country. And I remember when President Cyril Ramaphosa announced the implementation of the lockdown, he argued that, you know, government needed to prepare our health system. You argued during that webinar with the Daily Maverick that the lockdown has served its purpose and should be discontinued. Has it done what it was intended for?
Whether it's done what it was intended for depends on how well government and hospitals have actually been able to better prepare themselves to deal with what is going to be a surge of cases in the next 2 to 3 months. Mm. And just to clarify, in terms of the lockdown, there were three main purposes. The first purpose was to try to slow the rate of transmission of the virus in the community. The second purpose was to buy time for healthcare facilities, as you mentioned. And the third purpose, and probably the most important reason why South Africa should have gone into a lockdown at that early stage, was to be able to get some ability to perhaps contain the spread of the virus. But that required testing to be done at a relatively high level, which we didn't actually implement at the start of the lockdown. So President Ramaphosa was correct that he did buy our healthcare facilities time in terms of better preparing themselves. And to what extent our healthcare facilities can better prepare themselves over a period of 5 weeks, only time will tell. But I know work has been underway to ensure that healthcare facilities are better prepared to deal with a surge of COVID cases than before the period of the lockdown. Had we not had the lockdown, we would have had a much quicker increase in terms of the number of severe cases that would have been required to be hospitalized, and that could have undermined our ability to provide adequate care to the cases that are going to be forthcoming.
Yeah, and given how government is now at a better position in terms of, you know, the state of preparedness in our health system, is it justifiable for this lockdown to still be continuing?
I think there's no. So when there's a lockdown is, and I think the one thing we have to understand is a lockdown does not eliminate the virus. And unfortunately, some politicians actually were on record as saying that we're going to beat the virus. We're not going to beat the virus. This virus is going to be causing problems for us for the next 2 years at least. And we're going to have multiple waves, and there's no getting away from that. There's no country in the world. No country in the world that has been able to eliminate the virus. And it's not going to happen until we get the vaccine, in fact. But we can reduce the number of people, especially people with comorbidity that are at risk of developing severe disease. We can reduce those numbers of people from becoming infected, right, by the rest of the population taking precaution. And it's all about slowing the rate of infection. A lockdown does not necessarily, a lockdown is not sustainable beyond the period of time that we've had. In fact, we had it probably for too long. And it's caused tremendous damage to the economy. It's causing tremendous damage to the health of South Africans on multiple fronts. In fact, the type of morbidity and mortality that we might experience from non-COVID-related health issues probably would exceed the direct impact that COVID is going to have in terms of total number of deaths. So we need to be careful what we're wishing for. And a lockdown is not the magic bullet that is going to allow us to contain the virus. That's not the purpose of your lockdown is.
What kind of consequences are we seeing, Prof, as a result of this prolonged lockdown? So what is, you know, some of the harm that is coming as a result of this?
So obviously, in terms of the health, let me speak about health, on the health front.
Right? Yeah, on the health, yeah.
What's happened right now, in 5 weeks of the lockdown, 50% fewer people came for TB testing than any other period of the year, right? And what that basically tells us is not that the lockdown has stopped people from getting TB. That's a chronic illness. People are not coming timelessly to be investigated for TB, which means that when they start getting treatment, it's going to be delayed, which means that they're going to have a poorer outcome. Remember, in South Africa, it's close on to 55,000 people that will die just from tuberculosis this year alone, 55,000 people. Another example, during the lockdown, parents were less likely to take the baby to get immunized. Mm. Right? Now, children under the age of 18 are really dying from COVID-19. But those children that missed out on those immunizations, right, they now become at risk of dying from pneumonia and diagonal disease, life-threatening conditions that can be prevented by vaccination simply because the circumstances of the lockdown didn't permit for these children to be vaccinated. Families are being pushed below the poverty line, which means that parents aren't able to put food on the table, which means children are going to become malnourished. Right? And those are the realities that are beginning to emerge. So what I'm saying, if we're not careful in terms of how we think through this, the indirect impact of our response to COVID-19 in terms of death, in terms of suffering, is going to exceed the direct impact of COVID-19. Mm-hmm. That is not to say that COVID-19 is not a major public health problem. It is. Right? And it deserves attention. It warrants attention. It's much more severe than influenza, about 10 times more severe than influenza in terms of the risk of dying. But we can't allow our response to COVID-19 to basically cause greater morbidity and greater death, number of deaths, from other diseases that are completely preventable.
Mm. Prof, I want to ask about then, if the lockdown is lifted, the responsibility will now move to us as South African citizens. So we have to take responsibility, respect the physical distancing protocols, wear masks, and ensure that there's precautionary measures that have been put in place, even in areas of employment. But are we ready for that as South Africans? Because the concern that some people may raise is when you place that responsibility entirely on those people this early, if in fact it is that early, then the problem is, are they ready for that in terms of our behaviors? Do we take it seriously?
Well, the short answer is that if the citizens are not ready for it, then the country is in deep trouble. And there's nothing that government can do. There's no policy that government can recommend, right, or try to implement, which is going to succeed. If the citizens don't buy into the notion that our future is in the hands of the citizens and not in the hands of government. Even when we had a total lockdown, we saw people queuing for SASSA grants. We saw people queuing at supermarkets. Like we saw in townships, right? I come to Soweto, I come to the Aragwana Hospital each day. I've seen children roaming about the streets because they've got nothing else to do. Right? It's not to say the total lockdown kept people in the houses. That's a false assumption. In fact, the virus continued spreading during the period of the lockdown. Right? The amount of money that was lost during the lockdown is more than two times the annual budget allocated for health in South Africa. So this is not even an option about going back into a lockdown because it's not going to get rid of the virus. Whether the lockdown is going to have its full impact in the next 6 months or whether it's going to be spread out over the next 2 years is completely and only dependent on the citizens of South Africa. If they do not use non-surgical face masks, if they do not maintain physical distancing as far as feasible as is possible, if they do not embark on hand hygiene, right, if they do not avoid overcrowded situations, right, this country is going to see the full impact over a short period of time rather than this epidemic and pandemic being drawn out over 2 to 3 years period, which will allow us to be better equipped in terms of dealing with the hospitalizations that are going to occur.
Mm. What kind of strategies, Prof, does government need to start looking at? I mean, one of the things they've been pushing for is to increase the number of tests. So far, government says it tested over 300,000 people in the country. Is that helping us in trying to find a better strategy and trying to get a handle on the virus and how it spreads in communities?
Yeah, so when you're doing testing, it needs to be very goal-directed. Right? And what I'm talking about, when you do community testing as an example, the purpose of that community testing is to identify infectious people, put them into isolation, to trace all of their contacts and put their contacts into quarantine. And the contact that you're talking about is the contact that person has been in contact with at least 3 days before they become symptomatic until the time point when they're going to isolation. And you need to get to about 80% of those contacts. So as a short summary, for each individual that is infected, you probably need to trace 120 contacts to start off with. So as an example, when South Africa has identified 500 new cases, that firstly only represents the tip of the iceberg in terms of the true number of cases that are infected. But you need to then trace the 6,000 contacts, or at least 80% of them, for that sort of a strategy to work. The reality when it comes to testing, unfortunately, is that the amount of tests that's been done, even though it's not what we were aspiring to do, right, simply the laboratories aren't able to manage for that type of test. It's taking anything between 5 to 14 days for a result to come back, which effectively renders community-based testing meaningless. It's a futile exercise if it takes 5 to 14 days for that test to come back when you're doing a nasal swab. Mm. So there are other tests that you can use to better understand the epidemic in South Africa, right, which is what we hopefully will see being rolled out in the next few weeks. But the purpose of that testing is very different. The purpose of that testing is to identify which are the hotspots in the country, where the testing is now required to identify who is infectious and who is infected right now. It's required in our hospital, because when we're delaying getting a diagnosis and a result in a patient that's admitted to the hospital, it impacts on our management of that patient, in addition to which it puts our healthcare workers' lives at risk, because they don't know what type of protective equipment they need to be using when engaging with that patient. So we need to make sure that at the minimum that we get our hospitals to be able to get the result within 12 to 24 hours. Mm. And if we don't do that, then in fact, the lockdown would have served absolutely no purpose, because people are going to die because they don't know the status when they're admitted to hospital. Healthcare workers are going to get sick and they're going to die simply because they don't know who is infected in hospital and who is not infected in hospital. So we need to get a testing sorted out. There needs to be a prioritization in terms of where we put the limited resources that we have when it comes to testing. And that prioritization needs to put the hospitals at the top of the list.
All right. Prof, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it this afternoon. Professor Shabir Madi.